I had a very interesting. I don't want to emphasize, but it was an interesting thing. I was I sometimes commute. Yeah, I don't work locally anymore. I work in. Did you see me today again? No, I wasn't. Okay, next time, please wave. Yeah, the flag. Yeah. So I listened to a share on the way back, and I was listening to a share which completely random said a story. I said about Moshe Reichman, and I said it's quite a famous story. I was thinking should I perhaps just share it? Oh, it's a famous story. Okay, and then I carried on driving. And then in the evening, I opened up a sefer completely random. It was the Be'er Emunah of Bar Melech Biederman. I opened up random, and there's like stories there. And bang, exactly the same story was there. Exactly the same story. I said, okay, fine. If that's the case, you know, we're gonna say it. But you remember Mr. Moshe Reichman, who was a very, very wealthy Canadian Jew, extremely, they say that from Rothschild until his, it was nothing like his, in his good days. I think like his wealth was mainly 1970s, 1980s. Building companies. Canary Wharf, yeah, that's him. So, extremely wealthy entrepreneur, coming from very humble backgrounds, Hungarian backgrounds, very interesting life. I understand that Altschool published a book about him. You just got it. So although generally, normally you read biographies about Gedolim, he wasn't a Gadol in that sense, but in a different sense, he was a great Gadol because he did give an enormous amount of money to stock. And I think most importantly, they say, I don't know this, but apparently what they say is that he made it choshuv to give tzedakah to the moshe, to the kolelim, to the yeshivas. He was looked down, and he really made into something which was a very prominent philanthropist. He made it something which is a prestigious thing to give to the moshe. Anyway, so he was very, very, so the story goes that, when he was young, he was in Moshe Schneider's yeshiva. Although I heard the news from Gateshev, I think it's inaccurate. I think it was in Moshe Schneider's yeshiva. He was very poor, and the yeshiva was very poor. And the bread that the Bochrim ate in yeshiva was from Gajinsky's and the leftovers. So he would go, I think in the early morning, he would pick up the Moshe Schneider in the yeshiva. He also volunteered somebody to pick up the breads, the leftover breads to distribute in yeshiva, and it was very hard because obviously it was very early in the morning. Plus, often it was cold. I know this winter it's not, but it's still.
Not yet.
Okay, but I suppose they were seeking volunteer in Moshe, and this bocher called Moshe Reichman was the one that he volunteered to pick up the breads. Now there was another volunteer. There was another volunteer which was needed, and that was the one who would be the vecker. Waking up the boys with a bell, the vecker, waking up the boys in time for shachris. There again, they looked for a volunteer. Moshe Schneider looked for a volunteer, and the volunteer was also found. And Moshe Schneider, who was a shiva, very great tzaddik in his own right. He gave the bach. He said, the one who distributes the bread, I give you bach, should be zeich to always be able to distribute, to share you, to distribute bread to other yidden. You should be the one zeich to share your bread with others. That was the bach that he gave to him. And in of course, this was the Moshe Reichman who became an extremely wealthy philanthropist who shared his money with other yidden. Interestingly, the person that was the vecker, Moshe Schneider gave the bach, I give you bach that because you are zeich to, because you're waking up the boys. The Bochim must have been a typical job, I suppose. As I said, you should be zoicha to be marbit, you should be able that your energy should be giving Torah over in its due course, giving Torah over to other Eden around you. And this, who interestingly was also called Moshe, it was of course Moshe Sternbuch, who is the Rav of Yerushalayim, one of the greatest, very, very chosh v'poiskim in Yerushalayim, early in South Africa, later in Yerushalayim. Shalas and Chubas and Hoggers and Madi Musmani, very, very great, real Torah giants. So the two brachas were Mekuyim, Moshe Reichman being the one sharing the bread with others, and Moshe Sternbuch sharing the Torah with others. Apparently, there is that additional connection which I heard. I didn't actually read in either of the two, but I heard years ago that when they approached Moshe, I wonder if that story is in the book. Let me know if it's in the book. Pardon? Pesach Kron's second book. So they said that they went to Moshe Reichman and they told him this, and they checked with him the story. He said, yeah, it's true. I wish I would have chosen the other volunteering job. I should have been the one waking up the boys. Then actually I would have, you know, I would have become a Talmid Chacham. So that's what they say. I cannot vouch for the I don't know if it's 100% true, but that's certainly the story that they say. Yeah, it was, and it still is. Kol, Schneider's Kol still exists, yeah. Yeah, so they say the story. So they say. Yeah. Yeah, is the story you haven't read it yet?
I just started.
Oh, it started today. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know what the significance is that all the main players in that story are called Moshe. I don't know if that's got any significance. Yeah, Moshe Schneider, Bingo Shiva, Moshe Reichman, Moshe Steinbuch. I wonder. That's perhaps for the second edition of the biography. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. We're going to be learning tonight, that we're going to be entering and discussing a little bit the halacha tonight of the Tvi'ah Lishma of Tzitzis. And most importantly, the halachas of Tvi'ah, the spinning of the Tzitzis, which is done through a goy, a cheresh or a shoyta, Cotton Cher Shoita, and we should also be perhaps looking at the Bialoch over here, who actually discusses the relevant contemporary aspect of that, which is what if it's done through a machine, or what he calls, if you look at the last word of the page in Bialoch, he calls it a fabriken. What's a fabrik? A fabrik, a factory. Factory producing tzitzis. Is that good or not? So let us see what the Aloche is over here. Sif Tess. Excuse me, Simon Yud Aleph Siv Beis, page 38, second line, Shulchan Aruch. Tavon Nochi, if the Tvi'ah, the spinning was done through a goy, Ve'Yisrael Oymed Al Gaboy, and you've got a Yid who stands on his back. You can probably translate it, breathing down his neck, yeah? So you've got somebody standing on his, behind him, physically being present. Ve'Oymed, and he says, Shiason, Shiasa Lishmon. You do it, and do it lishmo. Do it for the sake of the mitzvah, do it lishmo. Now what's the halacha? The Rambam, apostle, these tzitzis are no good according to the Rambam, the apostle, completely invalid. We've discussed previously that if it lacks in lishmo, it's apostle, ma deraisa. We've learned, look at Mishtabu earlier, we've learned that if it's lacking in lishmo, look at Sifkot and Beis, two in lishmo, duvdatoy, exib dilim taz, elecho. So it's possible with the Reise. So the according to the Rambam, if it's done through a goy and you've got a yid standing behind him, it's possible. La Rosh, however, according to the opinion of the Rosh, it's kosher. Okay. Now I'm going to add quickly the words of the Rama as well. V'noyagin shivsa yisrael ma'at, the minig is, sheseya yisrael ma'at, the minig is that the yid helps a little bit. He helps a little bit. That concept we know from elsewhere. We know it from Tefillin Sefer Torah that Yid helps a little bit. Alright. Now, okay. So now, we have got the halach over here, there's so much to discuss over here. The Tvi'ah Lishmon, the Tvi'ah has to be done Lishmon, and what's the halach if a goy does it? Yisrael Oymed Al Gabo. Okay, let's start with the following question. Rabbi Yisai, the Tvi'ah, the spinning has to be done lishma. What happens if a goy does it? A goy does it. Start from that question. What if a goy does it? Can the tzitzis be any good or not? Well, if you saw Oymed Al Gabov, isn't it sound that it should be fine? No. Why not? Can't be lishma. What do you think? If it's good for cooking, it should be good for... Yeah, so the answer is, it's not really the same. Because what's lacking over here, the Torah says, you've got to do the tzitzis lishmon. The tzitzis must be done for the lishma, for the sake of the mitzvah. It's not like cooking. Cooking doesn't have to be... There's a different aspect. This over here is that you've got to do it lishmon. Now, a goy, can a goy do lishmon or not? Oh, interesting. So the passion, we know it doesn't work. How do you mean? What do you mean? How can a goy do lishma? What else is goy start going to do? For yourself, lafuke goy. Very nice. Very nice, Tosha. Happens to be the Gemara doesn't do that, but it's a good thought. So I say, it's interesting, but the Achronim do discuss that. Could a goy, if you teach the goy, okay, Mr. Mr. Goy, this I'm doing for the purpose of the. I'm doing this for the mitzvah. I've got a commandment. I've got to have those strings. It is a commandment. I wanted to do it for that particular purpose. Believe it or not, there's a machlokes and achronim as to whether that works or not. It could be that it's called to melamed the goy. If you're teaching the goy what you're doing, what the purpose of that is, it could actually be that it works. Okay, the consensus probably is going to be that it's not right and we don't use those tzitzis. But I want to just share with you that Mishmu actually points it out. He said there is such a concept. If you look in Sivkotten, oh, is it worse or is it better than a machine? So, well, who says the machine is good, by the way? You're saying that if a machine is good enough, the maskonas are poskim is that machine is good, so surely a goy can't be worse than a machine. Is a goy better or worse than a machine? I better switch this off. Is a goy better or worse than a machine? Pardon? Same. Same. Okay, but Rabbi Yisai, there's a strong argument to say a goy is much better, because we were talking about a goy who does lishma. The question is as to whether you can teach a goy to do lishma.
Why?
No control of the goy. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, I want to, so this is the machlokes and the poskim, we'll discuss another. I want to also clarify something else, and that's going to help us for this question as well. Maaseh Shehayah, this is a true story, that there was by the matzah baking, which is called identical halacha. So whatever we're going to be discussing now about lishma, it's identical when it comes to the matzah baking. It's the same question, pretty much. So there was, by the matzah baking, there was a yid that the mashkiach came by the matzah baking, and he said, gentlemen, moira ve'raboisa, we are matzah, whatever the minute, yeah, they say that all the baking we are doing now is le, it is for the sake of matzahs, mitzvah. Rabbi Yisai, everything lishma, we're doing this matzah lishma. One gentleman came along and he said, Mashkiach, I must just be honest with you. I'm not really doing lishma. I'm really doing it just because, you know, I'm getting paid and I need the money for my wage, and I need to bring partners to my family. I've got a lot of expenses this month, including the matzahs, and I got to pay them somehow. Are the matzahs kosher? He's not doing a lishma. He's doing it for the sake of the paycheck at the end of it's the money that what?
He's very honest.
He's very honest. So, Rabbi Yisai, is that a problem, yes or no? Is this a problem of lishma?
Why
is
that conversation?
No.
I'll say most of them will be doing it, although...
Depends how honest you are, yeah.
If they didn't get paid, they wouldn't do it, right?
Sure, so of course.
It's not why they it can't be purely...
Very good, very good. So what do you say? It's not a problem, why?
As long as they don't have negative components.
Not negative. Well, it's...
Because the
person's... Okay, let's clarify this. Rabbi Yisai, it's the key...
One is, why am I turning up today to do it? That's to earn money. But whilst I'm doing this...
Very good. Yeah, Rabbi Tepp is quite right. The point that we've got to be 100% clear in this, and this is really important. There's the what and there's the why. The why is the motivation of why I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it to get paid. Yeah, of course I'm doing it to get paid. There's very few things people do for other reasons than that, right? So there's a motivation. The motivation has nothing to do with the lishma, because the lishma is about what you're doing. I'm doing this. What are you doing? I'm doing matzahs, which is l'shem mitzvah. So it's the what, not the why. Nothing to do with the why. It's not the motivation leading to it. It's a really important point. Misconceptions about that. It's nothing to do with the why. It's not the why. It's what you're doing. I'm doing matzah here. L'shem mitzvah, and that's what I'm doing. It's nothing to do with the motivation. Now, so therefore, you could argue that a goy being taught what he's doing, that could work. Yeah, you could argue, that could be the argument. I'm telling the goy, you know, what you're doing over here is you're doing matzahs, you're doing tzitzis, which are, you know, for us this is a commandment, and it's important for us, these are the strings, and that's the tzviyas. You're doing it for the commandment, for the Jews. It could, in theory, that could potentially work. That's the discussion, Achonim. Now,
would that work? Because you're giving him that
lishma. Yeah.
Or is it working as his own?
So that would be his own. Leading, he would be talking about, the scenario talk until now was that it's his own lishma. Now, we're going to be discussing the question which Shulchan Aruch discusses. Will it work? That's the machlokes Rambam Rosh. If there is a nochi, ve'yisoel oymed al gaboy, ve'oymed she'asen lishma. So you've got a goy doing the tzitzis. He's spinning them. And the yid stands in the back. He says, you're doing a lishma. So it's the das of the yid, but it's the pola, the action of the goy. And here we've got a machloikas. So the Rambam holds posel, the Rosh holds kosher. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Oymid al gaboy. Sivkot Yud. Posel, what's the reason why it should be posel? What's the argument of the Rambam? Why is it posel? The Svir alu, the Oymid gilulim, the goy, adait al nafshe ovet. The goy, even if the Yid stands behind him, ultimately the goy does it for his own sake. He's doing it for the tzais, and he's not listening. Israel mitzaveh she'asa lishma. He doesn't care about what the Yid is screaming about over there. It's meaningless. He's not interested in what the Yid is screaming. So the goy does it ultimately for his own. He doesn't care about it. Therefore, it's possible. Rosh however, it's kosher. For shaschak she'ein lo Yisrael she'tveh lishma yesh lismech al zeh. And is it that you could argue that according to Rosh it's kosher because it's misyaches to what the Yid is saying. Now,
Rabbi?
Yes, Rabbi? Yes.
Are you then suggesting that the goy is an agent of the Jew? Which I didn't think because surely the das of the person has to be the same person.
It's a good question. How exactly? It's a very interesting question what you're raising, how exactly it works. But it would appear that it's not agency, it's not shlichus. It's the way it works, the mechanics of this system is that it's the mind of the yid which as transfers onto the action of the goy. So it's not really an agent, it's not really shlichus. It works a little bit different. Pardon? Says who?
The Jew's got the das, but the goy hasn't. Even if he's doing the action only, he's not got the das though.
Yeah, so you could argue. You are explaining the Rambam's opinion very beautifully. The Rosh will argue back, and he says, "Who tells you that it doesn't work? You know, there's a lot of things that happen remotely nowadays. So, yeah." There's a lot of things that happen remotely nowadays. So perhaps you could also argue that the das of the goy is remotely takes the das of the yid. The lishma of the yid is transferred onto the goy, and that's how the tzitzis are happening. But you're right, the pasha is like the Rambam. By the way, the Ramah says the minig is that yid helps a little bit. Who does he go with? The Rosh or the Rambam? Why the Rosh? Why does it need to be the Rosh?
That's the only way it can be kosher.
But the Rosh says you need to help a bit. You should help a bit.
There's a shit between the two.
The Rosh says it's kosher without any help. The Rosh says it's kosher. The Ramah says it's kosher, yeah, but the yid should help a bit. Is that the Rosh or is that the Rambam? Why is that the Rambam? Rosh or Rambam? Third shitter. It's got to stick to either. Yeah, it is. It is a third shitter, but yeah. So it is. Of course you're right. But Lemaitre, you're right. It is a third shitter, but it goes together with Rosh. Because according to the Rambam, it won't help at all. He's machmir an inch on top of the opinion of the Rosh, that he holds that it's kosher. He's machmir a bit. He says it's better if you can get involved somehow, busy with it yourself a little bit. But anybody. Yeah.
Even,
Same with Cheir Shoyt V'Kotten.
Somebody my age, Yid my age.
Well, why can he not do his own lishma?
But he's doing it for me. He's doing it for the money.
No, so he said money. He's doing his own tzitzis. Yeah.
Tzitzis are buying the shop, they're not doing it for themselves, they're doing it to sell it.
Yeah, but. if what they are doing, are they still doing tzitzis? Are they doing it? So why not? Why is it? Why is it not lishma? What over? Why is he not doing the Shem Mitzvah? Why not? The shopkeeper is doing the Shem Mitzvah. He wants to get money for it. But you can do lots of mitzvahs for money. It's not a contradiction. The money is the motivation. But what he's doing, he's doing mitzvah. Not enough das. They don't have sufficient das to create that. It's a lack in das. Good. He might not have. He might not have. The Mishnah Berurah says he may not have nemonos.
You know what he's thinking.
Yeah, there's a. Yeah, so that. So you're saying about the first question, not about the Shulchan Aruch's case. You're talking about Omer al-Gabov or Limdoy? By Omer al-Gabov, you are there.
Yeah, but.
You're there and you're telling him, you're insisting, doing
Lishem. I'm telling him, but what he has in his mind.
So we can assume that's not because of his Nemonos. That's the rule of Omer al-Gabov, because I'm standing behind him and I keep on telling him, do the Shem Mitzvah, do the Shem Mitzvah, do the Shem Mitzvah, so that works. By the way,
and he's working away thinking, I'm doing this the same.
I know, but it's not, you don't have to assume, and it's not his Nemonos, we stuck and not believed, he probably doesn't have Nemonos. He probably doesn't have Nemonos. We can assume that if you keep on hearing, you keep on hearing something, eventually you.
Why?
It's true, Mishmu does say he doesn't have Nemonos. Why would it be opposite?
He tells me to, but I've got no.
Why would he ask you to do for
Ket? I think it's strange that you put the strings on the edges of it.
Yeah, but why would he do for Ket? Why would he not do it? There's no reason to assume.
It's peculiar to hang strings on the edge of a garment.
Yeah, but it's not about how you wear it. It's about what he's doing. So,
he doesn't care about his mitzvah from Hashem or not. I mean, he doesn't believe in Hashem.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Isai, a brief word about the factories. The factories, Rabbi Isai, will that fit into that category or not? Where do factory produce tzitzis fit?
Well, who's working
in the factory? So generally, you're right in pointing out, there's many ways, and the factories have changed enormously, both the matzah factory, obviously, but even the tzitzis factories have changed enormously over the period of the last 50 years. You can't compare. So the reality is that nowadays, when you look at the many sold tzitzis, you will see that it will say that tchilas hativui nase al yedei Yisrael. You often see that tchilas hativui nase al yedei Yisrael, and then the rest afterwards is done through machine. Why do they do that? That's the Ramo. That is the Ramo. There is another very interesting Chazanish. The Chazanish says that if you use machines, that whenever you press, it works. When you leave off the machinery, it lets go. It doesn't work anymore. So it needs constant input, human input. He says that for sure. Okay. Why? One sec. Why? Yeah. Because that is for sure. That's for sure better. Yeah. So the Mishnah discusses in great detail the factories. There's a strong nowadays. You could strongly argue because it's all the polas are done through Yidden in any factory that you'll find, and any machinery involves some activity of the Yidden, and therefore it's certainly at least as good as Yisrael Omid al Gabon. It could probably be better as well. You could argue that a machine is not as good as that a machine is better than a yid. That a machine is better than a goy. Because why is a machine perhaps better than a goy?
Go on, I have a negative thought.
Negative thought. Or I would say a little bit different, that it's activated. It's activated by yid. So it's like Yod HaRichter. It's the kind of the machinery works.
Like a car. Like
exactly. You have activated the machinery. A yid has done it, so now the way it operates and it works is all through the energy that was started, the machinery, the process that was started by yid. So you could very well argue that a machine at a factory producing tzitzis is much better than Nochi Yisrael Oymed Al Gabov, which is a machlokes. But either way, Halacha Lemaisa, even if it's on the same level as Nochi Yisrael Oymed Al Gabov, the Ramah says that we paskin like the Rosh that it's kosher as long as he started the mechanism, which is the case as well by the machinery. Rabbi said, so does that make sense? So the machinery nowadays, which are used for the tzitzis, are at least as good, probably better, than what the Ramah says is
Rabbi,
fine. Yeah.
Rabbi, two questions. What happens if a goy is pressing the buttons for the machine?
That's a problem. That could be a problem. I saw the post mentioning that. The advice speaks about that. That the machinery are so expensive, they only let the experts deal with the equipment, and that could potentially be a problem. Yeah, you're right. I never knew that. China produced mezuzah. It's very interesting. Yeah, but the answer is you're right. It would be the same. Would be the same systems. Yeah, it's comparable. So there would be the same. Yeah. So if you've got a Chinese sofa, sounds interesting. A Chinese sofa when there's a solo in El Gabo, probably the same halachas would apply. Yeah. In Safos, I see. Or perhaps even Chinese goy.
Yeah.
Okay. So that could be. That could definitely be a problem then. Okay. Rabbi Yisai. That's it for this evening. We'll perhaps discuss this a little bit more tomorrow. And okay. Wishing you a very good evening.